I'd like to call the, are we, we're recording a work session for Tuesday, November 21st, in order. First item is the attorney-client privilege closed session for DuPont versus 3M. So at this time, we got to do a motion, right?
Yes, and there's a motion right there.
All right, let's do it.
I make a motion to go into a closed session pursuant to Minnesota Statute Section 13D.05, Subdivision 3B for attorney-client privilege, protected discussion with the city's attorney regarding the PFAS class action suits against 3M and DuPont that identify the city as a claimant.
All right. Looking for a second, Tracy?
I'll second.
All right. All members in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. Motion carries. All right. Next, we have Deputy Chief Hubbard here to do the quarterly update. Good evening.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. I think the chief is logging in, but you do not want to hear her. She is miserably sick, and she sounds every bit of it. So you are stuck with me filling in. Is this on the screen?
Here, also, space bar should be good.
So just a few quarterly update items to share with the council, obviously willing to take questions. We'll talk a little bit about the public safety aid money, give you a staffing update, talk about the Tri-City partnerships, our community engagement efforts, and a partnership that we're looking at with the state BCA. We're working on finalizing the public safety aid money. We expect that the check from the state should be coming the end of December. As we've talked about previously, we have been working on focusing a plan to develop something to utilize the funds as they're intended. There are a limited number of things that are not, that the funds cannot be used for. However, the legislation spells out pretty clearly what it is that the intent of the funds were. And so we've really tried to stay true to that in the areas that you've mentioned here or are mentioned here as we come up with the plan. Questions about the public safety aid money?
No.
Staffing update. We currently are looking to hire two police officers, and we have two, I would suggest, very high quality candidates that we are in the middle stages of background investigation for. So far, the preliminary is everything we saw about them through the process up to this point has been great, and the background investigations are reflecting that. One of them is a career change candidate, and one of them is a lateral hire from a different agency. So that would bring us up to full staffing composite, but that is always evolving, as we all know, based on life. We community service officers is not as rosy of a picture right now. We are really having a hard time getting our spots filled for that, those part-time positions. There just is not a ton of candidates, and the ones that we have been getting really are not of the caliber we're looking for. Anybody who really is of the caliber that we might be looking for are probably already connected with a different agency. So we have a new process that's going. I think we're interviewing 10 candidates next week to start that process. We're looking to hire two part-time spots. But when we have a staff of five, two is a significant dump for us. So staff or officers are having to do quite a bit of other duties to help fill that gap. And then our embedded staff, are doing fantastic. We're fully staffed with that group. You had an opportunity recently to meet with Savannah, who is our social worker, and there have been some fantastic successes that we have seen in her work recently. We've actually had one individual who we had between July and the end of October, we had 75 calls for service involving that individual. And we were able to get Savannah engaged in that process. And with the whole social services deal, we were able to get him into some better placement that fits his needs more. I don't know how long, if at all, it would have taken for us to try and instigate that from a police standpoint of navigating those systems. And so one example of, okay, we now in the course of 5 months will not have 75 calls for service that we have to respond to because she was able to step in and mitigate that. So it's been we've definitely benefited from that. Tri-City Partnerships, the Community Forum, I think a couple of council members were there. We did with Robbinsdale and New Hope. It was a good event. Attendance was down a little bit from what we've seen in previous years, but still I think any opportunity to get in front of people and get questions asked and dialogue is good. We will continue that, and we continue to try and be creative and looking at other ways that we can engage in other settings. The West Metro SWAT team, with the three cities, continues to train together. They are fully staffed. They had to bring in some new members as people retired from the team. That's been good. And then pretty exciting, at COVID, we, as you may recall, decided to take a pause on our Police Explorer program. And we recently, this fall, relaunched a program in conjunction with the other two departments, as opposed to each of us doing it ourselves. And we have 12 explorers that started that program in September. So that's a fantastic youth development opportunity for us, and hopefully a future ground for us to maybe get some recruits from. And then, as I think might have been previously mentioned, we did a joint mass casualty training with New Hope PD and West Metro Fire at New Hope Church about a month ago. The idea there was really the second stage to a critical incident mass casualty deal. So we were working on what happens when the zone is still hot, but we have victims that need to be moved out in quick order. And so putting teams of officers and firefighters in to scoop up injured critical victims and get them out. And it was a great opportunity for the three groups to train together and be further ready should, unfortunately, something like that happen in our area. A lot of community engagement opportunities coming up. We did have two Faith in Blue events in September, outstanding. The Wonder Woman Partnership is a program we've put together with a number of other neighboring cities. The goal there has been to bring young females in, teach them some leadership skills, maybe give them a little bit of taste of the profession, potentially as a recruitment tool to get more women into the field of law enforcement. Whole bunch of things happening in December, including our Toys for Tot, Shop with the Cop, Coat Drive, and the Santa Parade, again, with our three cities. Social media continues to be a big presence for us. We continue to get a lot of feedback on that. The juvenile, when are you going to cut me off, Mayor? Keep going.
No, you got a couple minutes.
Okay. The juvenile officer position, Officer Wilkes, has moved into that role and has made some fantastic connections with our local schools. And we have gotten to a point now where our school officials are reaching out to John when they have some student issues, some concerns that are expressed, some maybe veil threats that have come, to have that direct connection where they know they've got a specific line to somebody in the department has been great. And then we've continued to keep through this whole year Officer Robles in the traffic officer position, which is a good thing for all of you, because when you get all of the complaints that you do about traffic, we know that while we tell officers, hey, if you get a chance, go down to this area, 53rd and Louisiana needs some attention, we can send them down there. But we actually can, as a part of his regular duties, say, okay, this is an area we need you really to lean in on and see some results in terms of visibility. Last thing is we have been approached by the Minnesota BCA about partnering with them on the violent crime task force that they are working on. They have received state funding to expand the violent crime task force. And they basically are looking to put 10 municipal officers from the East and West Metro and 10 BCA agents together on this task force that will be focused very intently on following and leading through violent crime. They've asked specific agencies to be involved in this based on a number of criteria, and we are one of them. This would, as we are fleshing this out, hopefully in the next couple of weeks, we'll get a sense of it. This position, the state would fund it through the grant funding that they have. And we would assign someone to the task force. And as you may recall, a number of years ago, we stopped the joint drug task force that we had, but we've still have this position that we can lean into that. So that's a pretty exciting opportunity that we're hoping will flush out with the state in the next month or so that we could share with the council what the direction there is. Did like 30 minutes of material in short order.
10 minutes, right. All right. We are out of time. You'll be here after, is that correct?
Going anywhere.
All right. In case there's questions, we'll hit you up afterwards. So at this time, we'll continue the work session until after the council meeting. And we're going to roll right into the council meeting. We are going to start the work session. We continued it. We are on just to wrap up police department. Were there any questions to the quarterly update by the council?
So, Mr. Mayor, because sir, I took a 25-minute presentation and squeezed it down to 8.5, can I just expound on the BCA partnership for a minute?
Sure.
Hold on. No, I'm kidding. Yeah, go ahead.
Not the full 25 minutes. So just so the council has heard a little bit more background on it, because I really went high level. Again, as was discussed, as the former regional drug task force that we were a part of evolved into a violent crime task force, and then because a number of agencies decided that they couldn't support the effort anymore, that task force disbanded, as you recall. We have always said that we really do need to have a body focused on violent crime investigation and really feel that is most effectively done in a task force setting as opposed to us having a singular officer doing it. And so as we patiently waited, because there were a handful of options out there, we became aware of this BCA opportunity, and the timing worked well because the legislature put funding towards this. And so the structure that they are looking at is that they would have one larger violent crime team that they would, and it would be metro focused, half of the team focused East Metro, half focused West Metro. The West Metro team would be made up of a supervisor, if you will, 5 local agency officers and 5 BCA officers. So a 10 officer team, which is a team that can do these kind of deeper investigations. And the goal of the team is for them to be able to do deeper investigations that allow them to get towards some preventative type things. So for instance, really right now, there isn't a whole lot of investigative work that leans into a non-fatal shooting. So if there's a shooting that occurs, now we'll put a little more emphasis into it because it doesn't happen a ton here, but you don't have the same resource that you can bear down on it. But we know that typically those are, they're not random. They're connected to other things. And so it becomes part of a bigger investigation as you put it together. Putting a resource towards a task force like this allows us to be a little bit more proactive in that violent crime work as opposed to just chasing the tail of when it occurs. The other piece that I would just suggest is certainly by definition, and this was defined to us when we had an introductory meeting, we do at some level get the unique position of bringing the full oomph of the BCA into partnership with us. You know, obviously, if you are a partner at a table with an organization as big as that, if we were to have something that occurred here, certainly we would have resources that would come in and help us, but it puts us in different stead, according to the BCA, of saying, yeah, and we will make sure that that all of the resource, all of the team, et cetera, is there, as opposed to us calling and saying, hey, could you do us a favor because we have this thing? So and the fact that they have funding really to actually fund this task force is an encouraging deal, and that they think of us, of all of the agencies they could have chose, as an agency that that bears consideration with this partnership, I think is good. So again, there's more to come. They haven't come out with the final stuff, but I just want to make sure you've heard about a little bit more detail before we come before you and say, hey, here's what we're looking at. And again, we're still waiting to get kind of the specific details of what are they asking for us in terms of that partnership.
Can you tell me, is that funding stable? Is it continuing throughout the years, or is there an end date to that?
That is part of what the BCA is doing now. BCA has they currently have a violent crime task force, if you will. It's been a little bit more of a statewide resource, some of which they've peeled off into Minneapolis the last couple of years. They are scaling that back, and then they got additional funding. And so the funding that they currently have is a five-year funding source, or 5 years worth of funding. They're trying to determine at this point, what exactly does that mean and how can they allocate it? And then the BCA superintendent said when we met with him a month or two ago that he expects that they will go back actually to expand that funding to make that team larger because of the need. So that's one of the details we're waiting to hear from them is, what is the funding? What's the stability of it? What are you asking again for partnership from any of the cities that would come to the table?
And to be clear, you said we would be allocating one of our existing officers, or would we be hiring a new officer for the?
I think, to be honest, our proposal is going to be dependent on what they come back and tell us that they're looking for, or what they're thinking they're going to do. So I certainly wouldn't take off the table if they say we're going to fund a full officer, depending on what the parameters of that are based on the conversations we've had. Even I certainly at this point, with what I know, wouldn't put off the table that we wouldn't come and say this is an opportunity for us to add to our existing team. But I really don't at this point know. Certainly we've heard clear the idea of positions and what happens after positions. So I understand the point of the question, and it's not taken lightly, but I don't think we have enough information on the funding stream at this point to know what that ask would be.
Okay. Forrest.
You said that this would be like the West Metro. Is that like Minneapolis West, or is that like West not including Minneapolis?
So I asked that question pretty pointedly because Crystal has a reputation in these things of just putting out there what others might be thinking. And was pretty clearly said that the intent of the task force is that it will be a suburban West Metro team. And that the BCA, how the BCA is going to partner with Minneapolis is going to be in a different mechanism. Now that said, I mean, certainly we know that as we investigate violent crime that has happened over the last couple of years, it often has a nexus to Minneapolis, right? So certainly I wouldn't say one of our task force officers isn't going to execute a search warrant somewhere in Minneapolis. They probably are. But we're not. What I wanted to hear was, are our officers going to be a part of investigating Minneapolis's crime? And the response I was given was no.
Okay. But so the idea, though, is this officer will be doing, you don't really know, but like, let's say with the drug task force, is that like a 50% duty, 100% duty? What was it in the past with that?
So, I mean, in this case, for sure, the way it would come out, this isn't. Arguably, in order to do a task force well, it's not something that you can parcel out and say, hey, we're going to have you work a patrol shift on Monday and then 3 other days do this. So it would be if we commit to this partnership, we would allocate an officer to that task force. That, you know, a task force officer on a broader level like that is going to take the lead, you know, for any violent crime that occurs here. They would be the lead officer on that. And those other officers in the task force would come alongside in helping investigations, do surveillance, all of the things that come involved with that. And conversely, the expectation, because you're a partner, would be if Brooklyn Park is another entity and they've got something going on, our officer would assist that lead officer in whatever investigation they were doing in terms of surveillance, et cetera.
Okay. I guess my initial concern is that we'd be taking a resource, depending on the funding from the state, obviously, taking a resource by the city of Crystal taxpayers, and they would, based off of the map of violent crime in the West Metro, be spending most of their time outside the city. I understand that, obviously, you know, crime doesn't stop at municipal borders and stuff, but that's my concern. That is a concern I have.
Yeah, and I would just share, council member, that when I want to say this carefully. there
There have been other options presented to us since the drug task force dissolved that we could have looked at, and we pretty quickly and clearly decided not to pursue those because of that concern that we felt like that the city would get little benefit from how that particular task force is structured, that their focus would be very much elsewhere. So that's not lost on us at all. Even if the state is funding it, I would still argue, yeah, but we still need to justify you're part of this team and you're part of serving this community. And how is that going to go? So point well taken.
And then one final question. The supervisor would be a BCA employee then?
An assistant special agent in charge.
Okay.
Who would report to a special agent in charge, which is their big hierarchy of structure, okay. Big titles, but yes.
But I guess,
Mr. Mayor,
let's say we add an officer that would be doing this. It wouldn't be taxing any of Crystal supervisors to be a part of that necessarily.
No, I would say mostly no. However, you're still a police officer with the city of Crystal, with the expectations for training, recertification, and connection, right? Sometimes officers get into a task force and then you don't see them for whatever the duration of that task force assignment is, and they've totally forgotten, and we're too small for that. We need that connection to stay. So the investigations lieutenant would be the direct Crystal supervisor to that person, even though they're not directing most of their day-to-day work. I would argue that's probably, even though it's a direct, it's really more of a dotted line relationship.
Thank you.
Mark, go ahead.
The chief would like to speak. Chief, go ahead. Oh, hold on. I got to unmute you. Stand by. Sorry. All right. You're good.
Mr. Mayor, if you don't mind, I'll just
chat. Hold on. We can barely hear you. Nope.
Mr. Mayor, can you hear me?
Here we go. Right. Yes, we hear you.
All right. Sorry about that. Deputy Chief Hubbard is doing a fantastic job. I just wanted to give a little history of the consortium piece that we had been a part of for almost 30 years with the Northwest Drug Task Force that recently disbanded. We've had a reputation of having very good relationships with our partners, and this just moves us to a state-level partnership instead of local. I know that sounds scary because I was nervous about it as well. But with that said, the relationship that we have with the BCA is phenomenal. And I too am concerned, as Deputy Chief Hubbard said, about spending too much time in Minneapolis. But with that said, we did that as we had to be in Minneapolis for some of our Northwest Drug Task Force cases as well, because unfortunately, when things happen in Crystal, oftentimes the suspects wind up living in Minneapolis. So please know that it's not something that we're going to be doing on a regular basis, but the concern is valid and I understand it. But just know that the supervision piece is excellent, and we're actually excited about this partnership. Thank you.
Okay. Any other further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Okay, EQC status.
Mayor?
Yes, sir.
So after the, I guess it was two council meetings ago, when we met jointly with the November 7th with the EQC members, two of them, there was discussion then, and we had the council had commission interviews at the November 9th work session. And so the council had asked tonight to revisit this issue. The appointment, the formal appointments are scheduled for December 19th for the 2024 appointments. The council should come to kind of they should have a discussion as to what the future of the EQC, how they envision that. Just to give, again, a recap, what staff had been proposing is because of the low numbers of the EQC and the lack of, I don't say purpose and direction, but the commission had been struggling for quite some time There is a lot of duplicate efforts that are currently being done by the Park Commission. So our proposal was to either sunset the EQC and either let it lay dormant. That's one option, and just not reappoint anybody. And then in the beginning of the year, the one remaining member would be expected to move, and there'd be zero members. Transfer the other commission member to the Parks Commission as she had requested, and that the council can then create a task force or have a discussion as to what it wants the future EQC to be, and kind of reformulate that, or just fold the activities into the Park Commission and perhaps broaden that scope or give more clear definition and direction to that the Park and Rec Commission as to what topics they want to focus on or expand to. So really what the council should decide tonight or discuss tonight is how they envision the future of the EQC. And it doesn't have to be, you know, decided tonight, but as the council comes to the appointment in a month, we currently don't have, we only have one application for the EQC. Was there one more that we had received? We've heard of a couple people. Rachel Broughton had said she had a couple of friends that were planning on applying, but I'm not aware that we actually received any applications. So given that, the council really should come to a consensus of what they want to do when the appointments are made. And if the council wants to discuss the long-term future of it, it can, you know, it has time to do that. But as of January 1st, we'll have, in theory, two, and then one shortly after that.
The important thing to note is, while that's true, you'll still have, is it five vacancies on Parks and Rec and one or two on IDC as well. So that's how layered this challenging situation is even if you put everybody on EQC, you're still going to have some large gaps on other ones as well. Is it correct? Five or four?
With the one reappointment to the Planning Commission that was interviewed for, that would then create that additional vacancy on the Parks Commission.
Fifth. So five.
Correct.
Yeah.
All right. Council input.
So currently there are two people on the EQC?
As of right now, there are three.
There are three.
At the end of the year, Ms. Broughton's term expires.
Okay.
She did reapply for the EQC.
Okay.
With the conversation that's evolved, we asked her, are there other commissions that you're interested in? Because one of the options that at least staff was proposing is to sunset the EQC. Mm-hmm. She was not interested. She attended. She's
okay.
You're clear on her position. But the other, Ms. Schultz, the chair, she wants to move. She does not want to continue. Her term doesn't expire at the end of the year. But she does not want to remain on the EQC.
Okay.
So that will then leave two. That'll leave one, which is Olivia, who was appointed earlier this year. She's the one planning to move in the spring.
Oh, okay.
And so it'll be back down to, even if Rachel is reappointed, she'd be the sole member in spring of 24.
So if it doesn't get sunsetted, who's the second lady that was here? Not Rachel, but the
that's
Terry.
The Terry.
Terry. Okay. She doesn't want to be on the
Terry. So if we don't sunset, she's not going
to
stay.
He was going to move someone to another
company. Okay. So regardless,
another commission's
moving. She's effectively resigning at the end of the year.
Okay.
So we had one interview that was interviewing for both, you know, the Park and Rec, and also for the EQC. So was there a determination made?
Based on the council feedback, there was one prioritization. The council had been asked to prioritize.
Which, right.
She did apply for both. And as she said, her preference would be on the parks, but there was one one slip of the council that had prioritized her to go to the EQC. The rest were to put her in the parks.
Okay, so she's going to the parks. commissioner.
That was going to be the recommendation by staff.
And then, so then that would, instead of being five, that before then, correct, at that point, or is it still five, given the fact that she's being appointed to?
No, that would then fill that space.
And this would be back to four, right? Okay.
Right. Well, it'd be three, right? Because you're moving Terry over potentially.
Oh, I see.
As okay. Well.
That would be, yeah, that would be, sorry.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Does Terry have any interest in, if she's moved to Parks and Rec, like maybe being a part of a subgroup that would have an environmental focus?
So she's actually also, I believe, applied for the Bassett Creek Watershed Commissioner position as well. Okay. So kind of a combination. So I wouldn't speak for her. I don't know. But she's clearly passionate about this area.
Yeah, I would say she'd, I've had some conversations with her. I would say she would be likely open to that, but I don't want to put words in her mouth.
100% agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I think with this coming up, that according to Hennepin County, by 2040, we're supposed to be at zero waste. I mean, there are some environmental issues that I think we need. I mean, we could benefit by having a commission look into, whether that's its own commission or part of Parks and Rec.
Or a task force, too, for that
specific. Or a task force, too. True.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I think that, you know, like you just mentioned, the Zero Waste Plan, the Climate Action Plan, which is kind of like above that. And then you also have a number of other plans that are kind of coming down the pike in terms of energy and kind of things that have been the state passed a pretty aggressive climate action plan recently. And that's going to start having some impacts here soon. And so I think if it'd be nice to have a citizen advisory something, whatever that is, on those topics as they come up. I personally, as I mentioned in the work session, think that it, based off of what I've seen last year, and kind of my projection, if we keep going down that track next year, it makes most sense to kind of let the EQC lay dormant and roll that work into the Parks Commission. But I would really like to change the name of the Parks Commission if we did that, so it wasn't just Parks, and to kind of give some direction that, you know, it's not just going to be Parks. It's also, we're also going to be looking at other, and kind of similar to some of the other cities that have those Parks and Environment commissions, and maybe with other things, task force for, or subcommission underneath that or something.
Yeah, John. I think we're not dealing with the big problem, which is getting, you know, people to apply to these commissions. I mean, there's got to be a better way in which we're, you know, getting the information out to our citizens and getting them involved in these things, because I'm sure there's a lot of people who are excited about parks and recreation, or, you know, whether that's the, you know, involved in, you know, the EQC or any of the other commissions that have, you know, vacancies on them. I think that's what the elephant in the room is. It's not really whether or not how we can structure this or change the name or what would fit better for what we currently have. I think going forward, we have to address volunteerism. And I think we need to work on that as opposed to like figuring out how we're going to like layer the cake. That I just don't see that, you know, removing the EQC is going to change anything, because I've served on both boards. And the park board already has a pretty full agenda in terms of, you know, what they're doing, and adding in an EQC portion to that meeting. I'm going like, you know, are we going to have like, you know, 3-hour park board meetings, or I mean, you know, I mean, I to me, when I served on both of them, they each seemed to have like different focuses and different information that they were bringing to the community. And I really would be disappointed if we just all of a sudden go and just, you know, decide that, oh, the best way to deal with this is just to lump it all together and there we go, it's done. And going from having the Human Rights Commission go away and the amount of time this council spent working on equity and inclusion, I would hate to see us having to go back to the drawing board and redesign or redraft or involve, you know, council in terms of what that, you know, organization is going to look like. not that I don't mind spending the money, but you know, but when you talk about expenses, and that would be a future expense. So it would be something that I would be very disappointed with. And this council decided to move in a direction of combining both commissions. So there you go.
Did you have
just a quick comment?
Sure.
That work would probably be under the retainer. So it wouldn't be anything.
Okay. No charge, free of charge.
Oh,
yeah. I'm free.
Yeah.
Include additional charge.
Mr. Mayor, one thing quickly. At a minimum, I think it's important, because that was the original plan that Mark had, is to have the joint work session with the council for the council to give the EQC more guidance. Because regardless of the commission, if they don't have a clear defined purpose or something that they should be doing other than just the broad description of the commission, I think that isn't as inviting or as attractive to volunteers. You know, to go be a part of a commission that, you know, it's may only be one night a month, but as everybody knows, all the personal demands people have, if they have a specific goal or something that they've been tasked to work on, that gives them a little bit more of a concrete purpose. So regardless of whether the EQC it lies dormant or is sunsetted or is maintained, the council really needs to, these are the, you know, the 3-4 things that we want you to work on this year. Every year, all the commissions are supposed to come up with a work plan. That's something that in December, the IND commission is going to come and, you know, have a joint meeting with the council. And the hope in that is that the council will be able to provide some input as to what, you know, in 2024, what should they be doing? What should they be working on or working towards? So at a minimum, the council needs to give some more clear direction as to what the actual, not the purpose, but give purpose to the commissions. Because I think that, as I said, is more attractive for someone. I want to go be a part of that, other than just this amorphous, well, they talk about environmental stuff, they learn some things. But that's why we're the task force model that has a clear defined purpose, determined duration of it. It's kind of the SMART goals concept where if, you know, it has to be some specific, measurable, et cetera. They need more clear direction. So whatever the council wants to do with it, I think that the volunteerism will be helped with some more specifics.
So. You're giving me the whole chicken or the egg type story here, but okay. You know, I think that, sorry, I don't mean to butt in, but on both commissions, both the park board and also on the EQC in December, they've sat down and put forth a plan of, you know, things that they were going to accomplish for the coming year. You know, I'm surprised that all of a sudden you're telling me that they don't have a plan or don't have a proposal for next year. Is that correct?
It wasn't. I think this, sorry, I don't want to butt in, but I saw this happen a couple times over this last year where I think that one individual that was on the EQC, part of their decision to leave was probably because they didn't feel they were accomplishing maybe some of the things that they wanted to when they first set out. And I also saw another individual come interested, but then decided not to apply. And I think that part of that was, you know, there was a work plan, but I'd say probably 8 out of the 10 or whatever meetings we've had were more like, oh, like, let's have Three Rivers come and talk to us about dragonflies and learn about birds and go out and talk about this. And I think that for some people that are looking to tackle some of the very real environmental issues in this community and the world, maybe showed up to some of those meetings is like, okay, where's the direction this is going, right? And I think that if there was that, well, this is the things that you're going to be looking at and advising on, and this is what the city council wants you to do, I think that would drive more like, yeah, I'm going to take my Wednesday night where I could be, you know, playing pickleball or whatever and go and sit in this room and like talk about these issues. So I don't think that that necessarily it happened this last year. So yeah, if we wanted to keep the EQC, I think it really needs some remolding and direction.
And people.
And obviously people, which, yeah.
Go ahead.
Sorry. You're on your foot.
Yeah.
My thoughts here.
It's better than no conversation, right?
Yeah. I agree with a lot of what Forrest said. And we talked, I think I mentioned this at the work session too. It feels like the EQC is outdated to me. It seems like it more should be like a climate change group that helps the city figure out what are we going to do with, you know, like these climate plans or other plans that are coming from the city or from the county and the state. And I think that might get more people interested in it, because I feel like when I was on the EQC, I didn't quite understand what they were doing at first, just based on the name. And to me, a name is a big thing, and it seems outdated to me. It doesn't seem like it'd be of interest. So I think a new name and like a new mission would be really helpful. I don't think putting it into Parks and Rec would be helpful, because I've been on the Parks and Rec Commission and they have a lot to do. Those meetings can be pretty long too. I mean, they are, you know, 1.5, 2 hours sometimes. That's a lot of time for people. So, I mean, maybe that's why there's 3 or 4 people who are absent from meetings, or, you know, there's vacancies. And just in general, you know, we talk about volunteers, and I just think if it's more like a big societal trend where we have a lot, I think that's across society, where we have a lot of groups, like community groups, that people are just not getting involved in as they maybe were 5, 10 years ago. And it's maybe just something that's, you know, it's a big societal issue. It's kind of hard. It's like speeding, right? You know, you get a call from a citizen about speeding. Well, I mean, speeding's everywhere, right? So it's just a part of a bigger trend that unfortunately impacts the city. So just thinking about that, that's kind of my, I worry about getting volunteers for future, in the future, just because it's something we see across our society right now for many reasons. Those are my thoughts.
Yeah, are other cities struggling to get volunteers as well? Do we know? Yeah.
Yes.
Some.
I think, yeah, a few that I've looked at, there are full lists of folks that are, it depends. I mean, I looked at probably 4 or 5 cities, so that makes me surprised of like how much we struggle to fill some of these spots. And so I think that's on us, you know, to figure some of that out.
Yeah. I think New Hope struggles a little bit, but like a lot of the other similar cities our size really don't, from what I was looking at too.
Like, do we know what they're doing that we're not, or what?
That could be something that a task force could
look at,
maybe. I don't know.
I mean, I think some of it comes back to work plans. And I mean, some of these groups have it published on their website, kind of what their yearly work plan is. And it's kind of inspiring to see. Yeah. And so for me, I think there are 2 separate conversations, and we've addressed both of these, but there's the getting people to be involved piece. And then there, for me, there's the legitimacy of the commission. And like, do we believe the EQC is maybe legitimate, it's not the best word, but like a necessary commission for our city? I believe yes. And so because of that, I think we then need to figure out how to support that, refine that, refresh that, because I think the work is important. And if part of that is, yeah, combining it with parks, we could explore that. I don't think I agree with that. I think it should remain its own thing. But I don't think we should make a decision based on low participation. I think that's an indicator for us to maybe re-envision how these commissions operate. But I think the work is necessary, and we need to figure out how to structure these commissions. And this is true with the ID commission as well, Parks and Rec, EQC. I mean, I think specifically the ID and EQC need direction. And I'd be curious, actually, like how do we as a council provide that? Is that just a joint working session? Is that multiple joint working sessions? But especially the ID commission, like how do we get a commission like that off the ground and really start adding value, you know, that that we all hope to see? So.
Yeah, I think, I'm hearing kind of these, I think if we wanted to go down, this would be my proposal, is if we want to go down the route of making sure, not combining with parks and really making sure that we had a separate environmental commission, I would, as I said in the meeting, I think it needs a hard reset, and you kind of need to reset the name, reset the structure, reset everybody that's been on the commission, and kind of have an open call. This is what we're working on. We're going to do, you know, a real concerted effort instead of kind of like maybe trying to limp along with what we have and then kind of building the ship as it's going, just kind of saying, all right, we're going to make this a real, like we're rebooting the whole thing. But that is going to take work, obviously.
Agreed. It does take a lot of work. Anyone else? Yeah, I came into this topic thinking that I wanted to put it into the parks. I thought a subcommittee in the park could help with that redefinition, redefining. Doesn't mean it has to stay there, right? You know, your idea of kind of couching it for a period of time and then bringing it back. I guess I probably got that from you when you talked about it last time. I don't know where I came up with that idea, but that to me seemed to fit. I think with the personnel we have right now and moving forward, I'm not sure we have another choice. Just kind of my opinion. Go ahead.
How would it play out if we say as a council, okay, we want to reinvigorate this commission? How do we actually do it? I mean, is that us coming up with some kind of work plan, action plan? Hey, here's what we're hoping this commission does, and we try to promote that and get people, like,
we could lay it on staff. I'm sure they have nothing better.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're used to that. Yeah, pretty much. That's pretty much it.
Okay.
You know, we can use staff, but we can't lay it on staff.
So we would need to determine. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which makes sense. So.
Yep.
So if we're doing all that, it would make sense to just either end it or lay it dormant, whatever, just to have us a break, right? And then as we bring it back, it's totally new, like break from what it is now.
Yeah, I think that kind of creates the hard start restart,
right?
And not that this gives you comfort, but remember, basically, regardless of what you choose to do, your best case scenario is you'll have two people on that commission at the end of first quarter of 2024. That's your best case scenario,
right?
One of the other things, you know, these advisory commissions are their constituent, their resident, you know, staff, they're represented, but it having a commission that's supposed to be 10 people or seven, you know, it doesn't really matter in the number. But if you only have one or two people, it's not necessarily a good representation of the populace. The hope is, I mean, not that it's a guarantee to have, you know, if you have all 10, they could all be from the same, especially in a commission that it's open. I mean, the IND has no restrictions on where the residents are from. But obviously, ideally, the goal is to have a good representation of the community at the council. That's why they interview. If you agree that they would represent the community well, I would presume that's why one of the reasons why you would want to appoint them. Having only one or two people on a commission, you lose that. Now, is that the most controlling factor or the most important? Not necessarily, but the goal is to, as I said, have a better representation of the community to do that advisory work. The real challenge, again, regardless of what the council wants to do, is beginning of next year, there just aren't bodies. The council really, if I were to make a recommendation, don't make an appointment to the EQC in December and have a spring workshop to discuss, to come up with these goals, these parameters of what you want specifically, whatever the council wants to call it, to be focused on. And we can have a big campaign you know, multiple open houses to come learn about what the council wants to create. And I mean, be an open house. It takes time, it takes staff, but you know, have a couple of those, invite people to come and learn about what the council is intending or wanting, and hopefully get more applicants. And then it's, we're not, I doubt we're regardless of what the council decides, we're not going to have 10 people beating on the door day one. So it's going to have to grow over the next however long. But that would be.
Speaking of child commitments, I have to go pick up some children. So I'll be on the Zoom call in about 3 seconds.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
You will not be coming back? So you will not be coming back?
No.
Okay. I didn't get to it. Today's Mark's last meeting, last city council meeting. So, Mark, I want to thank you for your almost 7 years of service to the city.
Almost 9 years. 9 years. You all know it's not easy as you live every day. And so supporting you is what we're all passionate about. It's been an honor to help be here and be a part of that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good luck,
Mark. Thank you.
Thank you.
Luck. Good luck.
Next week is his farewell party. And we can come to that, right?
He has one at Big Louie's on Monday. You can send it out to the council.
Yeah, if you can make sure.
Monday. Right.
And then on
Wednesday
is the city sponsored.
Okay.
Farewell.
Can you send that to
both
of them
tonight?
Excellent. I remember 2012. One of the biggest complaints we had, I think, at the time was snow plowing. Do you remember that?
Sure.
Yeah, that was something else.
Like, how did it work? Yeah.
And he came in and just, I don't know what he did. It was like magic. The only complaints I heard since he came in were from years prior. And it's amazing how long people's memories are from something they experience and they apply it to current day, even if it's not true, you know. So it's, and I've seen that in other cases. Well, 7 years ago, this happened. Well, yeah, that's not where we're at today, you know? So it's kind of an interesting phenomenon. All right, back on a topic. Yeah.
Just to, you know, regarding Adam's comments, I would just want to, personally, I'd want to make sure that if as we re-energize this commission, if that's the direction we go, there is opportunity for resident input. And so part of me is like, well, do we lean on these, you know, potential two folks in the new year to kind of help us co-create what this is? I wouldn't want us just to come up with something that's not resonating. I mean, we do represent the city, obviously, but I would just, to an extent, the more people we could have involved, like helping inform what the vision should be and what the work should be, I'd be interested in how we get that input over the next several months.
Yeah, John.
Well, my example is, you know, the master park plan, right? As soon as, you know, the Park and Rec Commission started talking about a master park plan, you know, they got people engaged in terms of what it should look like, you know, how it was going to evolve with the city. And, how was it going to, you know, come into effect? And obviously funding is a big part of it as well. And I do think that, you know, I mean, for us to decide what the EQC should be is, I can't even begin to know where to start, right? I mean, but I think if you have a very broad general topic, like, yeah, this is what the EQC is going to, you know, if it's going to look at, you know, reducing greenhouse gases in the city of Crystal in the next 20 years or whatever. I mean, that's it. And then get residents involved in deciding what that plan is going to look like. I think that that's what's going to have to happen. I mean, you know, I understand that we have a problem with getting seats and chairs. And until we, you know, deal with that problem, we're going to continue to keep having this conversation until finally we get down to, we have one commission that's going to take care of five topics. And I just don't want to go there.
Pretty soon it'll be as long as the city council meetings.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They'll be paid.
No, just a real quick comment on that. I think that what you just said is really good idea.
But instead of a park plan, it's a climate action plan. Yeah. And that could be what this commission's about, is building a climate action plan for Crystal that works for Crystal, instead of just waiting for Hennepin County or the state to
decide for us.
I mean, they kind of already have, but, you know, working with that, I guess, now. So, because that's a very big process, and it will require a lot of citizen engagement. And it could be a similar thing.
I think if it's being mandated from state, there's going to be an awful lot of staff involvement on it. Don't you think?
Some of what's come out in the climate action planning work at the state now is asking cities to make their own too. So
I don't know the scope of it.
Staff will be the ones obviously implementing whatever change. But the advisory commission that's where a lot of the discussion should be taking place before it gets to the council. I mean, obviously anything significant, the council, it's an advisory commission, so they can suggest, you know, make proposals. We want to do X, Y, Z. The city, we think this, they should do that. The council ultimately has the authority to agree and, you know, take the formal actions to implement those things that then staff does or disagree. But yeah, they're the one, the council doesn't need to be, and forgive me if I am trying to put this on the council. I just think the council needs to kind of narrow the scope, put the work on what environmental issues the city should be working on. Staff, there are mandates. There are things that we automatically have to work on. But if there's anything outside of that very specific, you know, dictates, then that's where the council, we also want the staff to work on that. So that's that, then staff brings that to the commission and it works its way up. So the council doesn't need to be too specific. It just needs to kind of hone in. I mean, the conversation tonight is kind of what type of conversation the council really needs to have, perhaps a, you know, an ongoing discussion or ongoing conversation. But they really need to, instead of just having, here's what the EQC discusses and they have, you know, dragonfly speakers come in, that's not necessarily worth everybody's time or interest in the broader community. So I think that's part of what's lacking is a little more refined direction for the commission to get excited about, have a project or a goal to work towards.
And I think the park plan example is a good one, because that process of building the park plan, it wasn't just the commission. It was a lot of public engagement out in alongside of that, that built excitement for the commission too. And that's something that could happen with the climate action planning, is that broader community engagement that then builds into the commission having a role after the plan is actually set too. It kind of solves a lot of the issues, I think.
If you use the park planning, I think there's a lot of framework that was provided by staff. You know, kind of what does it look like? What does a regional park look like? What does a neighborhood park look like? Those types of things. That framework was provided by staff. And, you know, at the end of the day, regardless of what your climate concerns are, it's going to come back to Crystal. Okay, what can we as Crystal actually affect, you know, in these policies? What are the changes? And then I think as you look further down the road, you're looking at, okay, what resources can we apply to this? You know, both implementation of whatever we come up with or whatever they come up with, as well as staff time. So all those things kind of coalesce into a decision that's going to come down the road. So I think we know that the EQC is not going to be functioning in January. I think we're all there. So if we do nothing, we don't have an EQC. So then we got to figure out what action we want to take. Are we ready to say task force? Are we ready to say Parks and Rec Commission to help us with this? Or are we just going to reconvene in the spring? I think those are our three options that I think were talked about. What do you want to do?
Let me ask you this. So if we reconvene in the spring and you receive applications, you know, wanting to be on the various commissions and some of the applications for the EQC, are you going to accept those applications and put them on the EQC, or are you going to direct them towards the park board?
I would think we don't accept them for EQC because we're in the process of reworking what that functions, how it functions, what it looks like.
But isn't that the citizen input that we're looking for to be able to have the EQC move forward?
Well, either we do it, the council figures out what direction we're going to go in the spring, or you have a subcommittee inside of the Parks and Rec Commission that's going to help that work in conjunction with us and staff. Am I missing something? Aren't those the three options?
Couldn't we hold the applications? And it's like, oh, wow, oh my gosh, we got like 20 applications. Maybe, you know, I think it's optimistic to think, but who knows? I don't think that if we have a all of a sudden an outflowing of interest, I don't know.
Why would you turn them away? That's the only thing
I wouldn't turn a volunteer away. I would direct them to the parks if that's where we go, right? Or I would direct them to another commission if they could.
I think if they're really interested in EQC work, we could hold them and say, all right, we're working on this right now. We're going to hold your application. And, you know, in a month or two, we're going to work on getting you something. And, you know, if we get to the point where it's like 4, 5, 6 applications, like, okay, well, you know, this might be enough to kind of just, we can attack that not problem, but good thing when it happens, I guess.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely convinced that it'd be good to just put them on the park. Cause then it's kind of like, all right, you're going to do this. And then you'd have to pull them off. And I don't know. This is,
oh yeah, that is, they might get disillusioned by being on the park board. That might not be what they're,
Wouldn't it make sense then to just put a hold on the EQC, just like put it to sleep temporarily and it'll wake up something new? Do you know what I mean? Like not do anything with it. Just it's done as it was known and we're going to rebrand and.
Yeah, I think so. I think we hold it. And to your point about keeping the applications, give them the option. Hey, we've got other commissions, or we can hold it until we get things figured out. You got a very, very valid point in terms of.
Maybe we just can't be in like a limbo where there's still people sending in applications, but yet we're not doing anything. I just feel like it should be like shut down temporarily, not be taking any new anything till we figure out where it's going.
Therese?
If this becomes a task force, it doesn't necessarily have a set period of time, and a task force could exist for years, correct?
Yes.
Doesn't a task force have an expiry date?
I mean, it has a sunset, but you can always renew it.
Right. Mr. Mayor, right. I mean, last meeting or two meetings ago, I mean, it does have this notion built into it that it's going to have a defined period, but I agree with you. I mean, it's your rule. If you want to keep renewing it, you can. So I wouldn't be too hung up on that. But the idea of a task force really is focus on a particular thing. And once that thing is done, then it goes away. Now, since I'm talking, keep in mind that if you do want to make changes to the EQC or, you know, revamp it, rename it, all those sorts of things, you know, whatever you guys come up with, we'll have to do that by ordinance. So keep that in mind that it's going to take 2 readings, 30 days.
See, I brought that up before. So anyways,
But
you heard him say it's covered by the retainer.
Yeah.
No, I mean, we had quite a few meetings, you know. Name changes, they cost money.
All right.
I mean, do we as a council agree that the EQC should exist as its own entity? Can we decide that now? Or do we still want
to... Regardless of the name, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Or do we think we should talk about it being a part of Parks and Rec, or are we aligned that it should just be its own thing? I think that's a big step if we can agree to that.
Right. I think so.
Yes.
Yes.
I've been convinced.
That it should be separate from parks?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
So if we do that, then I think
And I would like to maybe put a date out there. So maybe June 1 of 24 is when we kind of decide like we're going to relaunch this thing, and that'll give us 6 months to figure out what it's going to be, whatever the date is, but something so that our residents can kind of look forward maybe to that date, or know that, hey, you can apply, but it's, we're going to be in this dormant season or whatever. And so, but just to give us some time, but also hold ourselves accountable to get this thing up and running, or else this could drag on for another year. So we're trying to figure it out. So that could be an option.
Yeah. So is it like our THC ordinance where we could actually start it sooner? I mean, or, you know, right? You kickstarted it earlier, right?
Yeah, if we get it rolling earlier.
Get it rolling earlier. So, you know, June 1st, you know, it could be like, you know, like May 30th, right?
Yeah. We can always work harder.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I think I would support a June 1st goal. And I would call it a goal. Just because, just like anything else, we can decide to change our minds. The point of it is so it doesn't lay dormant, and we do actually do our work. We've had experiences, and in those experiences where they kind of drag on and on, it's like people pointing fingers. Well, you're doing no. Let's do our work.
Yeah,
we don't have that.
Set some milestones.
So if there's direction here, it's a dormant EQC going into 2024. And we as a council will start putting it on work sessions and figure out if it's going to be task force or what else, and then implement and get rolling. Does that work? No heartburn.
So then for the one individual who is still on the EQC but is likely to move sometime next year, that individual going to be told, like,
I think she was already okay with that.
Well, there, yeah.
The one that's moving, yeah, she'll be told, okay. She can switch. Or
just want to, because yeah, she's the only one that's kind of like, there'll be a few months where
I think
she just doesn't come on Wednesdays, the second Wednesdays of the month and stuff. So
when we were presented it last time, wasn't she the one that said that if we decided to sunset, she would just be done?
No, she didn't know. She didn't come.
She was no, but she in did, the handout that her, we got,
her feedback was that if it wasn't going to continue as is, she would just resign at the end of the year.
Oh, okay.
Herself.
Okay.
Because she would essentially be one member.
Yep. All right. Staff have a clear direction?
I believe so. Yes.
Can we go home?
No.
Well,
almost.
Close.
All right. Liaison reports. Start on this end.
You've heard everything you need to hear about EQC. The only note is we're going to go see where everything that you flush down the toilet goes in December, and that'll be fun. So that'll be the last thing that the EQC does. It's going to Pig's Eye.
Oh boy, I think I could add to that.
Go ahead. I'm gonna add about the fire board that we haven't talked about already.
Okay. Go ahead.
Inclusion and Diversity Commission. We had some discussion about the MAC, the Multicultural Advisory Commission, kind of trying to figure out what other groups are doing in the city. We talked about the Tri-City Policing Forum. We talked about all that and had a good discussion about, you know, how long that's been apart, and the good discussion, the lighter attendance on that. We also talked about trying to figure out when joint work session with us, the city council, would be. Figured out December 19th. Everyone's looking forward to that. They're looking for some direction. They're also going to meet with John Elholm in January to discuss kind of what he does for like outreach and working with the community. They're also going to try to find and bring people in there and talk to other community groups out there as well. So they're, I think everyone's looking forward to December 19th.
All right.
CMC, Corridor Management Committee, they talked about displacement a lot. And a lot of the things that we talked about in terms of all the things the anti-displacement group put forward, there were a lot of things that we responded that were cost prohibitive. Some of them were, I would say, philosophically not inclined to local control. So there's some philosophical differences. That was kind of interesting. The Minneapolis mayor said that they weren't going to worry about free market conditions when it comes to dealing with some of the anti-displacement. And of course, every single community is going to have their input as to you know, how they go about implementing, or if they go about implementing these things. So they're kind of in process to try to figure out how they can curb some of the costs for some of these things. And honestly, my take was, you've got some major policy decisions about the autonomy of a local government and how we give those things up. And John referred to that in his memo relating to these topics. I'm wondering, John, can we kind of send that memo out again to kind of bring everybody up to speed on what those issues were and what the our responses were?
We are planning a work session in January 11th.
Okay.
To be predominantly about the Blue Line and Blue Line related things. So there, we are expecting the Blue Line project team will bring in, it'll be one of the gather around the roll plots kind of work sessions where they can show you their latest plans for the Crystal segment. And then we're also going to talk about the anti-displacement policies and programs and kind of a refresher on the stuff that we talked about over the last year with the council about these are the things that make sense for Crystal. These are the things that probably don't. And then there are things that are sort of in between. Kind of go through that and see if any of that has changed. And then there was one other Blue Line related topic that I can't remember, but it's on my written list back in the office. So January 11th work session is going to be predominantly about the Blue Line.
Okay. That's all I got.
Nothing on my end. Parks and Rec is just kind of really focusing on the pool stuff and nothing at CCX.
Okay.
CMC, I was at that meeting Jim just talked about, and the other commission I'm on is the Planning Commission, and there was a meeting last week that was rather contentious, talking about the property on 36th Street. The developer actually was addressed the commission, and he got really confused as to why we approved it before, and someone's like, this is the Planning Commission. I know they look like city council, but they sit in the same chairs. He was confused, but that was that. And the Historical Society, I'm pretty excited that this video of the history of Crystal that CCX has been working on for 3 or 4 years now is supposed to be done. So that's my report.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And then that's
it. Oh, okay. Make something up.
We got to find something for him to do. Let's, I mean,
hey, EQC. No.
Right. You're fired,
guys.
City manager check in.
The council has my written comments on that. Nothing that I necessarily want to highlight right now. There are a couple of things under the constituent issues that I was going to address that are somewhat tied to these.
All right, go ahead.
Go into that. I already mentioned regarding the organics discussion that came up at the last meeting. As I said, I have a meeting with Commissioner Lundy and Tim Pratt from the Hennepin Recycling Group tomorrow. And we're going to be discussing specifically the organics, but also the kind of the broader impact of the zero waste policy that they just adopted. So I will report back to the council after that meeting. And then the council, by that January 15th feedback deadline regarding the HERC, we can discuss that in more depth. The one of the other things that I heard about from Mr. Kaiser, or sorry, Council Member Kaiser, there were some neighbors concerned regarding the one of their neighboring properties and the number of renters and vehicles that were being parked there, and some other activity. Just for the council's information and kind of, if you hadn't been here, several years ago, the council eliminated the limit on the number of vehicles that can be parked in a driveway and the number of renters. This was a owner-occupied home, so there's also no restriction on the number of family members you can rent to, which is what the case was here. But staff, I worked with John Sutter's help.
You're pretty thorough.
We did some research. We did learn that there was unpermitted remodeling, so we're going to be following up on that to make sure those permits are obtained and inspected. The other issue that I heard from our business owner was regarding the 36th Avenue Tobacco. City sent a letter, enforcement letter, to that business owner, and they were not, they wanted to apply for a THC license, which we then reminded them that, as we said in the first letter, they're not eligible because of their proximity to the school, because they're within that buffer zone. And the business owner was very upset about this is not business friendly. It's you know, he hasn't had any violations. He's, you know, this is not pro business. So I explained to him the balancing interests in the council's decision. And I did invite him to contact the council members or come to open forum to speak to that. There are, as the council recalls, there are certain properties within Crystal that would be eligible, but there's a significant, that buffer zone that the map was, there are quite a few alcohol and tobacco licensed businesses that are ineligible under the current standards. Just to give the council also a heads up, in February, we'll be coming back to the cannabis issue and having another work session on that. The council needs to adopt a permanent ordinance for the public smoking of cannabis. If you recall, the council approved an interim ordinance on that. So we'll have that discussion, as well as we're hoping to have, that'll kind of be the kickoff or the next conversation starting then. As the state, they now have a commissioner of the cannabis board. So we're hoping to get more information on the future, the 2025 status. So next year we will have some more work to do on our current licensing and how that will evolve into the registration program. So those are the constituent issues that I had. There we go.
All right. Any more to bring up? Yeah.
In here, I have to ask about the airport because it's in your sheet. So.
Yep. So I know, John.
That was the third item we're going to talk about on January 11th.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay. Not Lula related. Sorry.
Go ahead. What's happening with Mark's replacement, director of
that Works? That posting is, we're going to, the hope is to have it out by tomorrow, okay. But there'll be about a month long application process. The position won't be filled before the new year, just with the holidays and doing interviews. There will be an interim. Ben Perkey will be the interim. We do have to have an engineer on record to serve to sign documents. So that'll be the interim status, and then the actual hire will come. But I've been meeting with the superintendents to discuss the transition, and I'm meeting with Mark several times still to manage the transition and hand up.
And his last day is next week?
His last day is actually December 1st.
Okay.
So I guess that is next Friday.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, any others? Seeing none, new business? Seeing none, announcements? Being done. We are adjourned.
When you look, what do you want for? Well,